Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. Again, you can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in WeTalk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, 19 Tips 2. First, I want to remind everybody to do the five. Hands, wash them often. Elbow, cough into it. Face, don't touch it. Unless you wash your hands first. Space, keep safe distance, 6 feet. Home, stay at home if you can. Self-quarantine. There's also COVID-19 testing is a number 311 and 800-722-7112. I don't know if that's a national number or a Philadelphia or a Pennsylvania number because I'm in the Philadelphia area. So, from Healthline, not sure you have COVID-19? Here are the symptoms for coronavirus, flu, and allergies. Because I see a lot of there's a lot of apprehension, and I understand it, around people who are sniffling and coughing and you know, things like that, which, you know that those droplets are a way that the COVID-19 virus is transmitted. So even though you may have certain symptoms, doesn't mean you have COVID. But even if there wasn't any COVID, we don't like people's droplets, mucus from their mucous membranes when they sneeze and cough or spit when they talk. We don't like that in general. But in terms of COVID-19, that kind of makes that situation a little more serious. So they say experts note that the novel coronavirus, the flu, and the allergies have different symptoms, they say. The main symptom of the coronavirus is fever, tiredness, dry cough, shortness of breath. Allergies have more chronic symptoms and include sneezing, wheezing, and coughing. Because, you know, you got the allergy, you're allergic to something, your nose starts running, it gets into your lungs, interfere with your breathing and stuff like that, right? Then you got coughing, trying to clear that stuff out, things like that. Flu has symptoms similar to the novel coronavirus, they say, such as fever, body aches. But influenza usually doesn't cause shortness of breath. Okay? If you have runny nose or itchy eyes, it doesn't mean you have the new coronavirus. Novels is new. Coronavirus. However, if you have a dry cough and fatigue and a fever, you might have COVID-19. Okay? So those are the things to look out for. But those are the main issues. Dry cough, fatigue, tired, man. Oh, man, I'm tired. And fever. You got a cough and you're getting up phlegm. That's not a sign that you have COVID-19. It's not one of the symptoms anyway. Doesn't mean you don't have it, but it's not one of the main symptoms of COVID-19. I think that fever is a major. And can't catch your breath. I don't know why I didn't say that, because I thought that was a major symptom also. Then again, they say it could be the seasonal flu, those same symptoms. So they said you might simply be experiencing seasonal allergies or the flu, says Lindsay Elmore, board-certified pharmacotherapy specialist and host of the Lindsay Elmore Show. Anybody calling in, you need to call in on the show. I'm not able to take calls right now. Call in the show at 516-531-9540. From Health Lines. They say stay informed with their live updates. You can check on Health Line yourself. Go on the internet, write Health Lines, and then, you know, Health Line, and then you can, you know, get some updates from them. They said there are many symptoms of cold, flu, and COVID that are similar. Right? So you need to be careful when you're around, because I know some people are essential staff, and this is hay fever allergy season. So it's going to be a lot of people coughing and sneezing around now, taking their medicine, their allergy medication, and whatever, asthmatics and things like that. Said that, let's see, what did they say? That they're all caused by viruses, but different viruses cause each of these infections. Cold, flu, and COVID. However, one key difference. COVID, which occurs prior to the development of, they say shortness of breath, is a common sign of COVID-19, which occurs prior to the development of pneumonia. Generally, the flu or cold does not cause shortness of breath unless it has progressed to pneumonia. So I guess shortness of breath is a common sign of COVID-19, which occurs prior to pneumonia. So you get the shortness of breath in reverse for COVID. You get the shortness of breath, and then you develop pneumonia. Where in the flu or cold, it means your shortness of breath will occur as a progression, that your illness has progressed to pneumonia. That's a buildup of fluid in your lungs, in which you want to contact your health about it. It's still dangerous. So it doesn't matter. It all can, it's very harmful. The flu kills thousands of people every year. So you still have to be mindful of that. COVID is not the only threat out here. Cold really causes shortness of breath after the fever drops, says Dr. Sabino Das, Chief Medical Officer at the Tivic, T-I-V-I-C Health. Influenza mimics COVID-19 very closely, but the shortness of breath is not usually as severe as it is with COVID-19. COVID-19 shortness of breath often occurs 5 to 10 days after the first sign of fever. So you get that fever, 5 to 10 days after that, shortness of breath, sneezing isn't a symptom of COVID-19. Sneezing, runny nose, facial all pain, post-nasal drip, and itchy eyes are common symptoms of, as you know, allergies or the common cold. Okay? But they're not typical of COVID-19. Okay? Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not an immunologist. Is that how you say that? I'm a virologist. I'm not any of that. But I wonder if you could have COVID and not have any COVID symptoms, but have the hay fever and stuff like that and sneeze COVID out. You know, just not, you know, suffering from any kind of, and, you know, the other symptoms of COVID, except for the fact that you have it and you may sneeze and it's, wow. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. The most common symptoms of COVID-19 are fever, tiredness, and dry mouth. Okay? Fever, tiredness, and dry mouth. According to the World Health Organization, WHO. Some patients have aches, pains, nasal congestion, runny nose, sore throat, and diarrhea. In a report from China, more than 1,000 patients nasal congestion was seen in only 1 out of every 20 patients. That's from Medical Care, Memorial Care Medical Group. COVID-19 symptoms usually appear 2 to 14 days after exposure. So that means, I notice they have this 14-day quarantine. It sounds like they need to be longer than 14 days, according to this, if it's usually appear 2 to 14 days after exposure. It sounds like you need to be a three-week period, something come after that 14-day. Anyway, however, some people become infected but don't develop any symptoms and don't feel unwell. They don't feel sick at all. I think I mentioned that Injus Albers, that he had COVID, doing fine. What's the other guy named LeBron James? No problem. So these people can still transmit the virus to those around them, even if they don't feel ill. So they're carriers. We still have to quarantine and keep our safe distances. Things like that. Allergies have chronic symptoms. COVID-19, like the flu or common cold, is an acute illness, meaning people feel fine until symptoms start showing up. Allergies, on the other hand, are usually chronic, presenting with symptoms off and on for weeks, months, even years. Yeah, that sucks. Says Dr. M. Coulter, family medicine physician at Providence St. John's Health Center in Santa Monica, California. They also noticed that in most parts of the country, it's not allergy season yet. That depends on when this article was written, because we're in allergy season now. Allergies should not cause a fever or body ache. So, I don't know how many people usually have thermometers in their home, or you can feel when you're hot, you got a little fever, you can feel yourself, I'm a little hot. You kind of know, so fever is very important to look out for. No cough unless you have a lot of nasal draining. So, right, as I said, if you got a lot of nasal draining, it's going to drain in your throat. You're going to try to get that out. You're going to cough, gets in your lungs, you're going to try to get that out. So allergies also cause wheezing, especially with people with asthma, right? There's a lot of people that have asthma. And again, I want to say that COVID-19 is a threat to us. We cannot forget that people who are asthmatic are that presents they're at higher risk, and they're at risk just for their asthma, because people that alone can cause death. Asthma by itself. So allergy symptoms tend to vary with the environment, worsening with exposure to dust, pollen, animal dander, whereas cold symptoms tend to persist regardless of time of day, other environmental factors. You got a cold, you got a cold, you stuck with it. Right? Allergy, you can kind of get away with some of the things that you're allergic to, like dogs and stuff like that, pollen, you know. You get away from those things that set you off, you can, you know, reduce those symptoms. Also, as with COVID-19, colds are more likely to have generalized symptoms like fever, headache, and body aches, whereas allergies usually affect only the respiratory tract. Right? You got that drainage. I don't know why I don't say the sinus tract, because it's a, you know. Anyway, allergy symptoms tend to improve with antihistamine and other allergy-specific medications, right? So if you have any of these allergies, continue to address them the way that you normally address them. And colds are more likely to respond to decongestants, acetaminophen, fluids, and rest. Despite symptoms, it's not the flu. COVID-19 is not the flu. Even though it has similarities and things like that to flu, it is not the flu. All right? As one of a class of pathogens known as coronaviruses, it's actually more closely related to the common cold than the seasonal flu. So, however, they say, despite some overlap, the typical symptoms of COVID-19 are more similar to the flu. Fever, cough, sore throat, runny or stuffy nose, muscle or body aches, headaches, fatigue. Right? You got fatigue, and once you got fever, and you got cough. They didn't say what kind of cough. So I don't know if the flu, if you have a dry cough with the flu or not. Then the common cold, runny, stuffy nose, sore throat, cough, congestion, slight body aches, mild headache, sneezing, low-grade fever. So, you know, I mean, to me, it sounded all a little close to me. And you remember, you got to stay away from people expelling body fluids, things like that, from the nasal and the mouth. In terms of differentiating between the flu and COVID-19, it could be almost impossible to distinguish, says another doctor, Dr. Jake Dusch, co-founder of clinical director of Cure Urgent Care Centers and specialty infusion in New York, where they'd be getting hit real hard. That's why people are recommended to have flu vaccinations so it can at least minimize the risk of flu in light of everything else. Fevers, body aches, cough, and sneezing could all be equally attributed to them both. It is really as they said. Let me see. If there's a concern for flu, he says there's a concern for COVID-19 because of the symptoms are so close. This doctor says, hey, if you got flu symptoms, go get yourself checked for COVID-19 because you're going to have a fever. And you're going to have some of the same symptoms as COVID. If you have a mild case of COVID-19, the flu or a cold, treatment is geared towards management of the symptoms. I guess that's runny nose, they give you something to dry up the nose, decongestant, things like that. So they said generally, acetaminophen is recommended for fever. They give you that fever. It's that Tylenol, right? Cough drops and cough syrups can also help mucus secretions thinner. I didn't think cough drops was any good for nothing, but it's a mental thing. But I guess so. They say cough drops work. If there is associated nasal congestion, antihistamines may be useful. So you treat the symptoms. You got a runny nose, antihistamine. You got decongestant in your chest, use that. I'm assuming if you have asthma, I guess you get that inhaler. All right, so primary symptoms of COVID. These are most definitely COVID symptoms. You had this dry cough, fever, shortness of breath, fatigue. Dry cough, fever, shortness of breath, fatigue. Less frequent symptoms of COVID. Diarrhea, aches and pains, nasal congestion, running nose, sore throat. All right, the seasonal flu, which ain't no joke, and that in itself is that ain't no joke. And I'm not. I hope I'm not giving anybody the impression that don't worry about these other things like the seasonal flu. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not even implying that. Or asthma. You don't worry about your asthma or anything like that. That's the last thing I'm trying to say here. I'm just trying to give a description of these symptoms. That's it. And because I think whatever you have, you need to treat it. And because asthma and the flu are very, very serious ailments. They're not anything to play with. And we don't want you to end up in the hospital if you don't have to, right? So the seasonal flu, fever, or feeling feverish, chills. Not all flu cases include fever, cough, muscle and body aches, headache, fatigue. All right, so that sounds like some of the COVID things. Less frequent symptoms of the flu, sneezing, sore throat, runny or stuffy nose, nausea, and diarrhea. Then we got the good old common cold. Sneezing, stuffy nose, sore throat, mild to moderate chest discomfort and cough, right? Get that decongestant, get some throat lozenges, some home remedies, put that onions and honey and lemon, something like that. Antihistamine for the stuffy nose. Less frequent symptoms, fatigue, body aches. You got a cold when you got body aches, you got a pretty bad cold. You got the flu. Anyway, seasonal allergies, hay fever they call it, right? Runny nose, itchy eyes or mouth or skin, sneezing, stuffy nose. Okay, less frequent symptoms. Wheezing, shortness of breath, fatigue due to lack of sleep. Well, if you don't get no sleep at night, you're going to be tired. Shortness of breath, that might make you kind of tired too. Wheezing, that's fluids in your lung, shortening, causing shortness of breath. So that's all a problem. All that stuff is a problem, need to be taken care of. Even colds, you don't want them to develop into any progress into any other type of illness. So take care of all your symptoms, COVID-19 symptoms regarding requiring immediate attention. If you have these symptoms, you need immediate attention. Difficulty breathing or shortness of breath. Persistent pain or pressure in the chest. New confusion or difficulties waking up. Bluish lip or face. And that sounds pretty critical to me. Because you're having difficulty breathing. Difficulties pain and pressure in your chest. You have difficulty breathing and it hurts, that is a problem. Cases can be life-threatening. Mild cases of COVID-19 are thought to last approximately 2 weeks. So I'm thinking of Idris Elba out of the woods. Him and what's the boy's name? Basketball dude. They out of the woods. I think that was at least 2 weeks ago they announced that. So, there's some of the things I didn't remember. I think now that it's required to everybody traveling to wear a mask. I wish I had done some more research on that, but masks are not that readily available. So you can take, I think you can use a bandana So Crips and Bloods should have no problem with that. They got plenty of them. And any other street crew that, you know, is in the habit of wearing them bandanas, now you have, you use it to save your life. From the WHO, the World Health Organization, China joint mission on COVID-19. Okay, so this is, using available preliminary data, the median time for onset to clinical recovery for mild cases is approximately 2 weeks and is 3 to 6 weeks for patients with severe or critical disease. And that's good to know. This is from China, right? They're saying that people with like mild cases, that's Idris Elba, it's gone in 2 weeks. I guess your body built up antibodies, they knocked it off. And anybody else, severe to critical, 3 to 6 weeks. Good thing about that, they said severe or critical disease. You know, some people are not making it out of the woods with this disease, with this virus. But here you have 3 to 6 weeks for patients with severe critical disease. So you can survive it, even if you have severe issues. I think I saw something about somebody had some really, sound like they didn't even need COVID. The issues that they had already with could take them out. I forget what he had, but he's had COVID too, and he's still here. Continue from Healthline. The vast majority of cases are mild, they say. Almost all, nobody dies of a common cold, and most seasonal allergies are more annoying than dangerous. Influenza causes between 12,000 to 61,000 deaths per year in the United States. That's what I'm saying. Don't forget, COVID is not the only, animal out here attacking us, not the only virus out here that we have to worry about. COVID-19 has the potential to cause even more fatalities because it's easily transmitted. The population lacks immunity to the disease, and complications in serious cases may include life-threatening pneumonia. They say if you're feeling sick, think you have been exposed to COVID-19, you should self-quarantine for at least 2 weeks. If you feel sick or you think you have been exposed to COVID, quarantine for at least 2 weeks to prevent further spread of the disease. That's from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, right? Severe symptoms of COVID-19 that require immediate medical attention. Again, difficulty breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, confusion or inability to arouse, or bluish lips or face turning blue. The latter indicating shortage of oxygen, which is bad. They're saying around one out of every six people gets COVID-19 becomes seriously ill. One out of every six people who gets it becomes seriously ill and develops difficulty breathing. That's from the World Health Organization. Older people with underlying medical problems like high blood pressure, heart problems, and diabetes are more likely to develop serious illnesses. I think diabetes, have kidney issues also. And I think I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone before we started the show about, what is that? NASAID, NASAID, take those. What's that? Advil and something else. And I had another friend, he texted me something about how it has an impact on the disease because it affects the kidneys or something like that. And if your kidneys are being affected by COVID-19, then those not NSAIDs, those medicines with the NSAIDs, and it will have a leave, and I think it's Advil, I think, will have an adverse effect on you. I think the original memo said something to the fact that it accelerates the process, the disease. So Tylenol, you know, to be safe. Your primary, your options for care if you have COVID, your primary care provider, discuss discuss the symptoms before visiting a healthcare facility, all right? If it's an emergency, call 911. Tell the operator you had COVID-19. Okay? The new coronavirus and crowds of people are a bad combination. Now, I know everybody's supposed to be in self-quarantine, but I noticed some people, you know, I think, who was that just told me that? Like, guys playing basketball, running basketball games, riding around in four-wheelers, dirt bikes. You know, people just kind of like not taking these things too serious. So, I think they said that the city must have took the basketball rims down so that the kids won't go up to the basketball courts to play basketball. And I guess they're non-believers, and, you know, I don't think this virus discriminates. I didn't hear anybody say it discriminates against youth, because like you said, you can be a carrier, go back, kill your parents with it, you know, or just make them sick. I'm going to say you go back and kill your parents. That's kind of morbid. Excuse me. But you understand what I'm saying. You can go back and your little brother, your parents, your grandparents. So, you know, you put them at risk. So especially if you're out in a large group. So this is the virus that produces COVID-19 needs to attach itself to respiratory droplets in order to be successfully transmitted. That's very interesting right there. This is a very weird virus. By itself, the virus is not very effective at survival or transmission outside the body. When attached to droplets, it can spread up to 6 feet after being expelled via coughing or sneezing. All right, y'all? That's why I went to wear the mask. You can talk, spit into your mask if you accidentally spit, sneeze. You got the mask, you got your elbow, you got whatever it is you have, that device you have to sneeze into. And then you want to throw that away in a closed container. Some organizations have used 100-person gathering as the minimum number. But, I mean, I think it's less than 100 guys on a basketball court in the hood. So there's certainly potential for spread amongst smaller crowd sizes. So you just want to don't do any crowd things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, right for a minute. Let's try to obey, follow the self-quarantine, and let's see how see the impact it has on the coronavirus, on the spread of the coronavirus. Okay? And so that's what we're trying to do. It's not the you won't get it. It's simply we're going to slow the spread down because it's going to do what it's going to do. And we have some people out there who are susceptible to who are in high-risk situations, police officers, firefighters, essential workers, and things like that. But 50, I think I heard a story about a guy had a party. I think it was in Jersey. My sister was telling me. Party at his house with 50 folks with a DJ. I think the cops shut the party down, gave him a fine. But I'm like, the 50 people that showed up there, that's 50 people that didn't give a damn. So, I don't know. Maybe they thought that was the last party or something. I don't know. They also say screening people attend meetings or conferences might be one risk reduction strategy. Ask him about recent travel, you know, where you've been at. Have you got a fever, cough, as well as taking temperatures on site? The day of the meeting, prior to entry into the room, there was no absolute guarantee that this is going to stop COVID from spreading in that room, even if you do these things. But I thought that's interesting because I'm just kind of imagining how do you take a temperature without touching somebody? You got to get close to do that, and then you have to use the apparatus on different people. And then people might not want you to, you know, place the apparatus back on them as you place it on somebody else. I don't know, that gets into a whole lot of stuff. But they say anyway, that's something you can do to kind of, when you're having meetings and things like that on the job. Meticulous hand hygiene along with avoidance of touching the eyes, nose, and mouth is instrumental when dealing with this mode of spread. So that means you're outside. Don't touch your face till you get home and wash your hands. You wash your hands, of course, you're going to touch your face and stuff like that. But you don't want to just be all up in your face either. No music, no sports. Why is it important to cancel public events? Well, I just said why. Right? They said people waiting in line for the Southwest Music Festival. Before the event was canceled. People were waiting in line for the tickets. I said during the past all week, public events from music festivals to sports contests and conferences have been canceled. Right? I mean, a whole lot of things have been canceled, right? Experts say it's essential to ban large gatherings. That's that four-court game, those side games, and those gatherings are just on the side of, you know, at the basketball court for the people in the hood, parties and things like that. The illness can spread even in small gatherings, so it could be just six of y'all. Right? It still can spread. They've had quarantines and cancellations and dire warnings around the globe. Okay? In Italy, more than 1,000 people have died. The entire country has been in virtual lockdown. Large public gatherings, particularly music festivals, tours, and sporting events have been wiped from the calendar. They put a stop to everything. You don't have to do it. It's not going to be done. Okay? I saw another advertisement. This is on television. Like, why would they advertise? I guess they paid for it. It was some kind of party, a big party. I think with a cruise ship or something, I don't know. But they is advertising some kind of party, you know, and encouraging people to, you know, pay for their tickets, get their tickets for this big party. Anyway, I thought this was interesting. This is from the Daily Mail. Doctors claim new coronavirus may cause damage to a man's testicles, as they urge male patients to take fertility tests upon recovery. So it makes you sterile, basically, is what they're saying. Doctors in Wuhan warn disease may affect the production of sperm. However, no study has proved the new coronavirus will affect men's fertility. The experts suggest the likelihood of serious immune damage in the testes. They urge recovered male patients to test sperm quality and hormone levels. I thought that was very interesting right there. It's just connected to the SARS virus. Not this SARS, the old one. I think they said the other SARS virus had that effect. Anyway, let me see. Doctor in China urged all male patients to get their fertility. The disease can, right, impair man's ability to reproduce, according to Wuhan's Tongjai Hospital. The comments were by Professor Li and his team at the Hospital Care for Reproductive Medicine. Tongji Hospital, affiliated with Huizong University of Science and Technology, is one of the hospitals designated by the government to treat coronavirus patients since the outbreak started in Wuhan in January. Well, we know it started before January. If you've been keeping up with this year or doing a little research yourself, this thing started before January. According to experts, the new coronavirus known as SARS-CoV-2 enters human cells and causes tissue damage by binding its spike protein to cell membrane protein, angiotensin converting enzyme 2, ACE2. ACE2 is known to be present in other human organs apart from the lungs and can especially be abundant in a man's testes. This is why they say this could affect the testes. Okay, according to experts, the new coronavirus known as SARS-CoV-2, right, enters the human cells, causes tissue damage by binding its spike protein to cell membrane protein, angiotensin converting enzyme 2, ACE2. ACE2 is known to present in other human, is known to be present in other human organs apart from the lungs and can especially be abundant in a man's testes. All right? That's where man's sperm is kept, right? It could be concentrated in several cells, which are directly related to the male reproductive abilities, including the germ cells, supporting cells, and Leydig cells, the team claimed. Okay? This is why they say get your, check your sperm count. See if you're still able to hit that home run after you, if you had CB19 and recovered. They added that during the SARS outbreak in 2002 and 2003, medics observed serious immune system damage in the testicles of some male patients, right? And this is a SARS virus, all right? Even though doctors did not detect the SARS coronavirus or SARS-CoV in patients' testicles, they could suffer inflammation in their sexual organs, the study said. Wow. Now, that's the first time I heard that, but then I've been looking for stuff. If you look for stuff, you're going to find stuff. So I guess I'm a victim of that. It says, since a new coronavirus is highly similar to the SARS coronavirus and the two share the same host cell receptor, ACE2, the team concluded that, in theory, the new coronavirus could cause damage to men's testicles. Never hurts to get your sperm count checked if you're interested in having children. Or you can just see what happens the old-fashioned way. Therefore, for men who have had the infection, especially those who need to reproduce, which is who we're talking about, it's best to undergo fertility tests, such as sperm quality and hormone level tests upon recovery. So that's what they're saying you need to do if you get it. Okay, the World Health Organization, right, declared the coronavirus outbreak a pandemic after blaming alarming levels of inaction by governments across the planet for fueling the crisis. They say governments, people just ignore this. While China today declared the peak of the coronavirus in the country has passed. I don't know if you know about China, but I saw a picture. They welded a lady in her front door. And somebody didn't have a mask on. They arrested her. She also kicked the police, though. She looked like she went to kung fu school or something. So she did a little kick. So anyway, the disease has killed at least 4,718 people and infected more than 126,000 across the world. I think that number is higher now. Implications for sexual reproductive health and rights globally. Julia Hussein Taylor and Francis online. Basically, they're saying that the outbreak like these can impact on sexual reproductive health. And where are they from? Anyway, they said MERS and SARS are known to cause adverse pregnancy outcomes, including miscarriage, prematurity, fetal growth restriction, and maternal death. So that's the death of the woman. So, in one case, the pregnant woman required mechanical ventilation and a cesarean section at 30 weeks gestation. Fetal distress and preterm delivery were reported in some cases. Fetuses, they say, in their expert opinion, the fetus is unlikely to be exposed during pregnancy, and transmission is more likely as a neonate. I don't even know what that word means. I should have looked that up. That might mean after birth, though. That's the only thing I can think of. It's not during pregnancy. The only thing that comes after that is after or during birth. Pregnant women with respiratory illness should be treated with priority because of the risk of complications. Well, I guess so. There's no evidence that pregnant women are more susceptible to COVID-19, but pregnancy is nevertheless a risk factor. But I guess that goes unsaid. I mean, you can see that. Pregnancy in itself is systematic screening of suspected infection during pregnancy with extended follow-up of confirmed cases has been called for. Although the predictability of such measures, given often mild symptoms, lack of test kits, and so on, is uncertain. They don't even know if they'll be able to do that because they don't have enough equipment to even carry that out. But I guess it would be nice. So pregnant women face special challenges, which are being pregnant is a special challenge in and of itself. And as we see, COVID-19, relentless COVID-19 is a very special challenge. Functioning, well-resourced health systems are undoubtedly needed to manage the situation effectively. We know that. But will we not do anything unless we get paid? That's what I'm wondering. Like, are we able to, like, do what we need to do without this whole thing, without being paid? If it comes to that, how's this thing going to go? Like, people just going to snatch somebody's house knowing that this COVID-19 thing is shutting everything down, put some people out on the street, attempt to take somebody to court. You know, we have COVID, shouldn't be gathering. And that just sounds like pure idiocy to me. House not going anywhere. People need another opportunity to get gainful employment to start paying their bills if they get behind on their bills. Anyway, I guess that's another show. So, basically saying that, you know, women who all spend time recovering in the hospital wards in low-income countries are often reliant on relatives for food and care, making isolation and infection control measures difficult and intensifying the risk. You know, I heard about people in jail had to be fed by their family, but I didn't know that was a hospital situation in some of the low-income countries. But I know that I heard of prisons where the prisoners, they want to eat, and people got to bring them something to eat. So it's a lot of, only have 10 more minutes. I'm not even halfway through. Okay, so I guess next week we can get on, we can finish this up. And the question for next week would be, I'm looking at the wrong clock. No, we got another half hour. No, we good. Okay. I ran across this guy, Rashid Batar. It says COVID-19 virus is man-made. Okay, so I thought it was interesting enough to share with you guys. It's COVID-19. It's not a natural occurring virus created by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who published highlights of the creation in November 2015. They said Dr. Xing Li Shi, one of the scholars associated with the making of the virus, represents the key laboratory of special pathogens and biosafety at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Chinese Academy of Science in Wuhan, China. He says that from 2004, Dr. Shi was a recipient of a number of U.S. government grants, as well as grants from the National Basic Research Program of China, the Chinese Academy of Science, the National Natural Science Foundation of China, and the Strategic Priority Research Program of Chinese Academy of Science to assist in funding research into the coronaviruses. There's more than one. In 2015, the U.S. government paid Dr. Shi and the Chinese government to fund research into the coronaviruses. This was published in November 12, 2015. This is, let's see what he said was published in Nature. Let me see what it was published. Nature News. I pulled the article up. I'll read it to you. I thought this is very interesting because I've been hearing a lot of conspiracy theorists. You know, what's that other thing? The other one was the is it Q5, I5, what is it called? The thing that the phones work on, the cell phones work on. Anyway. Just different. This one I thought had a little teeth to it. So I just want to see what you guys thought. You can go to the Nature's News 11/12/2015 and read it for yourself. The article. I said an experiment that created a hybrid version of a bat coronavirus, one related to the virus that causes SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, has triggered a new debate over whether engineering lab variant or viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risk. So in the conversation they had, he said, an article published in the Nature Medicine on 11/9/2015, scientists investigated a virus called SHCO-14 found in horseshoe bats in China. The researchers created a chimeric virus made up of a surface protein of SHCO-14 and the backbone of a SARS virus. that had been adapted to grow in mice and to mimic human disease. Chimera infected human airways cells, proving that the surface protein of SHCO14 has the necessary structure to bind to a key receptor on the cells and to infect them. It also caused disease in mice, but did not kill them. An experiment that created the hybrid version of the bat coronavirus was related to the virus that causes SARS, has triggered renewed debate over whether engineered lab variants or viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risk, right? So I said, all right, let me check, see if that even exists. So I went to Nature News. Engineered bat virus stirs risky research. Lab-made coronavirus related to SARS can infect human cells. March 2020 editors wrote, "We are not aware of this story. Theories that the coronavirus causing CV-19 was engineered. There is no evidence that this is true. Scientists believe that an animal is the most likely source of the coronavirus." Right? All right, so we are aware that this story is being used as the basis for the unverified theory that the novel coronavirus causing CV-19 was engineered, they said. There is no evidence that this is true. Scientists believe that an animal is the most likely source of the coronavirus. So, that's still not, I didn't even get to the real article. That was part of the real article. I'm sorry. So they're saying that this is how our liberty, this is a bigger plot to rob you of your liberties. The Department of Justice seeks new energy emergency powers amid coronavirus pandemic. Using this false flag event to take more rights away. Well, I don't think anything false about having a virus running around killing people, making people sick. So the false part about it, I'm not sure about that, but I guess the false is that he's saying that it's engineered and it was purposely set upon the world so that people could take more control. So the real article from Nature's News says, let me see how much time I have. Well, okay. I'm going to read this. I'm going to try to read through as fast as I can. I can't read everything. Engineered bat virus stirs debate over risky research. Lab-made coronavirus related to SARS can infect human cells. I just read that, right? The editor's note, right? We are aware that this story is being used as a basis for unverified theories, they said, that the novel coronavirus causing CV-19 was engineered. There is no evidence that this is true. Scientists believe that an animal is the most likely source of the coronavirus, right? So they go to this section called Article Tools. An experiment that created a hybrid version of a bat coronavirus, one related to the virus that causes SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, has triggered renewed debate over whether engineering lab variants of viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risk, right? In an article published in Nature Medicine on November the 9th, scientists investigated a virus called SHCO14, right? This is the same thing this guy was saying, Mr. Butter, which is found in the horseshoe bats in China. The researchers created a chimeric virus made up of a surface protein of SHCO14 and the backbone of a SARS virus that had been adapted to grow in mice and to mimic human disease. The chimera infected human airway cells, proving that the surface protein of SHCO14 has the necessary structure to bind to a key receptor on the cells and to infect them. It also caused disease in mice, but did not kill them. Although almost all coronaviruses isolated from bats have not been able to bind to the key human receptor, SHCO14 is not the first that can do so. Okay? In 2013, researchers reported this ability for the first time in a different coronavirus isolated from the same bat population. So, I mean, the question to me becomes, what the hell is anybody trying to create a virus that can jump from animal to a human host? What is the point in that? You know, and I'm saying, if our government paid for something like that, what is, you know, I'd say we're in a lot of trouble. Because why? Why would you want to take something bad and make it worse? That doesn't make any sense. The creation of Chimera. The argument is, I hope I'm saying that right, it's C-H-I-M-A-E-R-A, Chimera. So anybody want to look that up, look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I just got this article out of here, out of the from this resource. I heard this guy talking about it on YouTube, so I started to look up what he was talking about, and at least that part is not his. I don't know if Nature of whatever, what's it called, Nature News is how real that is, but if it is real, this becomes scary, considering what's going on with us now. So the creation of the Chimera, the argument is essentially a rerun of the debate over whether to allow lab research that increases the virulence, ease of spread, or host range of dangerous pathogens that increases the virulence, that's virulence, strength, right, of the virus, ease of spread, or host range of dangerous pathogens, what is known as gain of function research. Now, they say in October 2014, the U.S. government imposed a moratorium on federal funding of such research on the viruses that cause SARS, influenza, and MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, a deadly disease caused by a virus that sporadically jumps from camels to people. And I hear that's still over there. And they got a lot of camels over there in the Middle East. They said the latest study was already underway before the U.S. Moratorium began, and the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the NIH, allowed it to proceed while it was under review by the agency, says Ralph Baric, B-A-R-I-C, right? An infectious disease researcher at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, co-author of the study. The NIH eventually concluded that the work was not so risky as to fall under the moratorium. But Wayne Hobson disapproves of the study because he says it provides little benefit and reveals little about the risk that the wild SHCO14 virus poses to humans. Other experiments in the study show that the virus and wild bats would need to evolve to pose any threat to humans, a change that may never happen, although it cannot be ruled out. Baric and his team reconstructed the wild virus from its genome sequence and found that it grew poorly in human cell cultures and caused no significant disease in mice. The only impact of this work is the creation in a lab of a novel, non-natural risk, agrees Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist and biodefense expert at Rutgers University in Piscataway, New Jersey, both Ebright and Rain Hobson, critics of gain-of-function research. So, that sounds very much like this. What we have. This sounds very much like the origin of what we have. Because saying that it came from bats, it just ain't going to cut it. So in their paper, they conclude that the funders may think twice about allowing such experiments in the future. So I think maybe if they did, or unless they did some very mad scientists and evil people, because you got to be evil to unleash something like this on a population, and you have to be pretty stupid to be playing around with something like this, that it gets out into a population, you know, something that you enhanced, a new non-natural risk. Scientific review panels may deem similar studies building chimeric viruses based on circulating strains too risky to pursue. I say if that has anything to do with the CB19, we're living it. In addition, the discussion is also needed as to whether these type of chimeric viruses studies warrant further investigation, viruses inherited versus the inherited risk involved. Got enough risk, and you got inherited risk involved in messing with these viruses, as we can see. If this is the scenario that gave birth to the present day CB19, COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2 virus. You know, and then you have to think of why would somebody want to do that? Now, a lot of people saying, well, this is means of population control, but how does the virus know who to get and who not to get? You know, or is there already a vaccine and certain people already had this vaccine? I'm going a little off the road, beaten path here, but I'm saying, like, okay, like you said, okay, all right, man-made virus. So if it is a man-made virus, what man is stupid enough to let a virus out? Because the virus is not discriminating. That's not like you got a soldier out there saying, all right, all these people we going to get. It's not the same. I mean, you might have some collateral damage. This is not no collateral damage situation. This is a situation where, hey, this could CB19 taking on all comers. You know what I'm saying? You know, who wants this smoke? That's what CB19 is saying. Anybody wants some of this could get some of this. So who would let something like that upon the whole world? That's a madman. You know, and if it's a means of population control, then these mad men need to be dealt with. They need to be addressed. It's no oops. You know, we all made a mistake, kind of like this is something you shouldn't even venture into. We locking people up for selling dope to people, giving them third-degree murder charges, making them responsible for the deaths of people who willingly take drugs. And here we got a situation here where they're saying, like, these people unleashed this virus, whether unwillingly or willingly, on the population. They shouldn't have been dealing with it in the first place. Why on earth are you trying to deal with something of this magnitude? Why are you worried about viruses jumping from animals that don't jump from animals to men to human? Why are you all concerned with that? Viruses jumping from animal to human. A virus you know that don't usually do that. I don't know. Somebody other than me, I would need to run this shit down. Explain this. Again, from Nature News. They said the U.S. spends risky disease research government to cease funding again of function studies that make viruses more dangerous pending a safety assessment. It's on the same people. You know, they're saying that, what are they looking, you're looking to use, is the United States government looking to use this as a biological war agent? Are you kidding me? said outbreaks in influenza have prompted research into strange strains with pandemic potential. I don't understand this. This ain't making no sense to me. So that back then, you know, they said they had stopped the funding, right? New research that makes certain viruses more deadly or transmittable. They have, U.S. has, you're telling me the United States government funded research that makes certain viruses more deadly or transmittable. What do we have today? Now, what would be the purpose of that? Why would the United States government be looking into making a virus, which is it's the ultimate weapon if you cannot be affected by the virus, which makes me think that there is a vaccine for this virus. If that's true, you must have a vaccine for it. Are the government people in charge that stupid? I don't know, because this just pisses me off right here. You know, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but it, you know, anybody want to chime in, tell me how you feel about that. What you think? You think the United States government is that stupid? Are they that wicked? I mean, because it's not the first time they use biological warfare, or been irresponsible about killing people. They had the atomic bombs, right? Nagasaki and Hiroshima. You had the Indians, though. Smallpox. Anyway, the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is also asking researchers who conduct such gain of function. They're calling this gain of function. You're going to gain from the function of a virus that could kill everybody. Got you. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Q.
Hey, Trump's been fighting that whole conspiracy thing about it coming from the U.S. Well, I'm not fighting it, but, you know, he's been, kind of countering it, I guess. You know, since some people from China was trying to blame the U.S. or something like that. He was saying it. That's why he keeps saying it's a Chinese flu or something like that. He said he's heard about people trying to accuse the U.S. of it, so that's why he wants to make sure that you know, that everyone understands what he's saying, that he's saying that because that it didn't come from us. It didn't come from the U.S., that it came from China. So he wants to make sure he's saying Chinese.
Well, according to this, the Chinese know what they're talking about because they was paid to do it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
According to this article, they funded this guy. The guy from the Wuhan Viral Institute, U.S. Mm-hmm. funded the research. So I guess they wanted to say, hey, this is dangerous. Y'all take this over to China and work on it. Get something happening that happened over there. And maybe that's what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Maybe they say, hey, all right, we out of this. So stop doing that. And the Chinese people still had it, and it got out. Or maybe somebody put it out. How'd it get out?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to make, why are you funding research that makes certain viruses more deadlier or transmittable? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know a good reason for that.
You mean why are they
funding? Right. What's a good reason for doing that?
God, man.
Hey, there ain't no good reason for that. There ain't no good reason for that. You can't, population, if you got some people talking about our hair, they say conspiracy theorists talking about this population control. They're using this virus to control the population. Really? I said, who's it affecting? So are they saying get rid of the sick? This is eugenics, right? Get rid of the sick, mm-hmm. right? The weak,
right?
Right? The elderly,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to vote him with the strongest to be here.
Who is supposed to be working on it in China? Does it say, does it say who was working on it in China? It wasn't the guy that died, that the whistleblower guy.
Wuhan.
It wasn't him.
Wuhan, no, that was the doctor. You're talking about the doctor that died, the whistleblower?
Yeah, it wasn't him that was doing it.
No, he was an ophthalmologist. He was an eye doctor, man. If an eye doctor knew it, they knew it before. They knew it before. He's the whistleblower. That's why they call him a whistleblower. If he's seen it, you know other doctors seen it. You know what I'm saying? He's an eye doctor. And if he's seen it, you know other doctors saw it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw something else saying that that he was targeted for whistleblowing.
Yeah, he was. That's what I read, too. I didn't even get to that. I probably got that in here, too. But I got a lot of stuff. I'm not going to be able to cover it all tonight, but I got a lot of stuff. I mean, this part right here, I thought it was interesting enough to add up to tonight's show, because they keep talking about these conspiracy theorists, but this guy, I watched this dude on YouTube, and I said, let me see what this guy talking about. He mentioned something. Let me go see if it exists. Let me see if what he's talking about exists.
So why the Chinese government suppressing stuff?
Why are they? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a big question.
I don't know why this. Maybe they all that's from what I'm reading. Let's just look. So maybe they in cahoots with the American U.S. government. They working on this virus, trying to make this virus more deadly, more transmittable, right? The U.S. said, okay, stop that. Are we out of that? Stop doing that research right now, right? And they maybe they kept going. Maybe they kept going and say, oops, oh, snap. That dog just got out of the cage. Huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened. Yeah. Maybe somebody in there got sick, took it out, went to the fish market, and kept on trucking. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. The virus didn't come from a bat. It jumped. They said that whole thing about the jumping from the animal to humans is usually from human. Animal to human, to human to human, that's rare. It got a lot of things got to happen before that happened, even from the animal to the human. You know what I'm saying? So here's a virus that's jumping. They say jump from an animal, right, right to a human. Which made me think that, no, this whatever this is, it was made, right, to affect humans. And here we have conducting studies to make viruses more deadly and more transmittable. What do we have? We have a more deadly and a more transmittable SARS virus.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So I'm saying, like, that's a hell of a coincidence. And that's a hell of a conspiracy theory. But that don't sound like fiction to me. You understand what I'm saying? That don't sound like fiction. That sound like, saying they got the fox mining the chicken coop. It seemed like we got idiots in charge. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a position of state and education does not mean that you are a very wise individual. That doesn't mean that. You may have a lot of information, and you may know a whole lot of things, but wisdom is the ability to use those things. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's the difference between a wise man. A wise man wouldn't be messing with this. But a fool would. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A fool would mess with something like this. He said, I need something so I can destroy the whole world. What can I do it with? A virus. And I can survive that. I can maintain the infrastructure. Listen to it. This is my theory. I can maintain the infrastructure. I mean, we ain't got to blow nothing up, right? We just get rid of the people. That's all war does anyway, right? But there's a lot of trash here because we're blowing shit up. But a virus, just get these people in the ground, burn them up. What are we going to do with them, right? And keep them moving. So if you want a population control, that's a good way to get the population down. Just keep presenting all these different flus, all these different diseases, all these viruses that have become more deadly, that the flu virus also has become more deadly. You know what I'm saying? I'm just to take it a little, just to take it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, to me, it sounds like we under the we right under the foot of a mad scientist of evil rulers. You know what I'm saying? If this is true,
mm-hmm.
if this is true, then are we under the people who are in power should not be in power. And that's anybody that know about this here and just let it go. You let it go just to keep your job. You let it go because you're scared or whatever. We don't, you know, you shouldn't be in politics. Shouldn't be in the military. We don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if there's any truth to all this here, these guys, we don't need these guys. We don't need these people, these type of people in power. A person that's willing to kill the whole, that's the kind of stuff you see in those little cartoons. I'm going to destroy the whole world. All the James Bond, you know what I mean? Even James
mm-hmm.
Bond, dude, they're trying to kill. Those villains ain't trying to kill the whole world. They're just trying to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ain't trying to destroy everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you see that stuff like, yo, I'm the world. You're going to save the world. You got to save the world from this one dude trying to kill everybody. Yo, doesn't make sense. This is madman stuff. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying if we are under the thumb of these people, we are truly. Truly, truly in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is sickening, man. You know, I'm like, I'm reading this, I'm like, you mean to tell me somebody somewhere? We got another call. Let me get this caller in because we only got like 5 minutes. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thoughts.
This is Brother Mark. How you doing, Carton? I was just listening for a while, you know, and you just actually touched in on what I was thinking from the beginning. And not so much what I was thinking is like the information that I gathered when I see in my own eyes. They knew this man was crazy when he came in office. This man was a thug. I can go on and say what he was, right? And they knew it, but they put him in. We under a mad scientist that he don't care about nothing but money and power, and he'll do anything to kill and destroy. He said it out of his own mouth in the election. He said he could go out there and shoot someone in the street, and they wouldn't do nothing to him. And what made him even powerful when they impeached him, and they did the right thing with impeaching, but when the Senate, like you were saying earlier, they were scared that they would lose their jobs, so they went along with him, went along with his craziness, and from going along with his craziness, this is what we get. We get this outbreak. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. They've been eating the exotic foods for centuries in China, and nothing like this ever occurred. They've been eating bats and nothing. No, it didn't come out the bat. What it did, it went in the Wuhan market, and then it came out. Somebody took it in the Wuhan market as a cover-up to say it came out of the Wuhan market. No way in the world it could have jumped from a bat, any animals, to a human. We never seen no virus like this. COVID-19
right.
is a military term. When they put the COVID on, if you look at any Assault spill in the back of a Lysol bottle, you'll see coronavirus, human coronavirus.
Right.
It went
right.
from human coronavirus to COVID-19. COVID-19, look it up. It's a military term. They got COVID helicopters. They got COVID flying stud vehicles. COVID means a cold. They actually put that COVID on to make it more important that it would kill humans, right? So this thing was planned. It had nothing to do with anything being eaten. That virus went in the Wuhan market because they was working on it. Now, I was listening to you saying earlier that the whistleblower had already exposed it. It was somebody that worked with the whistleblower, was in contact. They was working on this virus. And if you really look into it deep, United States had a patent on this virus. They had a patent on
it. Right, but the coronavirus is not new.
The viruses aren't new.
That's what I was saying.
But
coronavirus.
This one now is a new one. It's a new one.
The COVID-19. They put the
right.
COVID on. All they did was impotent. What I'm saying is that, when you said earlier, when you look on the back of the bottle, you see human coronavirus. We know that. That's
mm-hmm.
been out for years, but it's never been out this. If you remember, when Kobe died, right, people was
mm-hmm.
packed in the stadium going to see him. They never removed. They didn't say nobody had to get back or stay fresh. People, thousands of people came to mourn Kobe. But watch this here.
Oh,
Corona
yeah.
been
what
out. It's
that,
already
man?
Out.
Yeah.
That was just
yeah,
like
that
was like about the same like in March, like in November, December. Kobe died. I think in
December.
No, March, April, May. Yeah, it was December. So it didn't really come out. Corona had already been out. If you remember when the impeachment, when he won the impeachment, and they impeached him when he came out, that's exactly when this virus came out.
You got 1 minute.
Out.
You got 60 seconds, Mark. Then I got to close up.
Right. It went from COVID. It went from Corona to COVID-19. Now, take it from there. What COVID-19 is? That thing was already made up and was. And actually, I believe it was put here to kill population off, like United, like Philadelphia, New York, all the blacks and stuff. But they didn't know it would get to the rural neighborhood because Trump wanted that election and he wanted to defeat it in any way he could. If he can control the population, kill off most of the people here. Because look where it's hitting at. New York is killing people in New York. Coming to Philadelphia. So. We got to look what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a mad scientist. He got to get out of office.
I agree with that. It's time for time. Unfortunately, we got to go. And I just want to thank you guys for calling in. And anybody
mm-hmm.
that's listening, I want to thank you. If you want to comment, you can comment on the website, on the Provocative Thought webpage. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, listeners, callers, and those who download the show. And my two... callers have called in today, Q and Mark. Thanks a lot, brothers. You know, just remember
mm-hmm.
to be very careful. Wash your hands. You know, good. You know, watch what you touch. Don't be so touchy either. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So you know, don't touch a lot of stuff. Wash your hands before you touch your face. Keep safe distances. You know, hold to your elbow. Wear a mask, and you know, things like that. Hasta luego, y'all. Till the next day. Good night. Okay, that's another chick. Let's see how you want. Hang it. It must be two of them. God, all the media. Yeah.